Lord, thank you for these men that we have been studying and their writings that you have given them that have so much to impart to us of you, your heart, your ways in the earth. Thank you that they were willing to stay with you no matter what the cost. When things were good, when things were bad, they were with you, Lord. And that is a ministry in and of itself, to live out one's whole life all for Jesus and not care about the cost. And these men are rightly honored in your word, Lord. And we ask to continue, that you would continue to help us to draw from them and from their message to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. We didn't get to finish Daniel last week. We're going to finish it today. And that's going to be the first half of our class. Then the second half of this hour, we're going to review for the final exam. And that might not apply to all of you on. It certainly applies to both Isaac and Marcia. Everyone's welcome to stay on through the whole hour today. But if when we move into the review section of the class today, if you would like to go, you are free to go, and you're not going to miss any new information because we're just going to be reviewing for the test, okay? So let's think about, turn our thoughts now to Daniel. And we got to talk a lot about kind of the informational side of Daniel and the structure of his book last week. And then I started talking a little bit about his life and some of the ups and downs in his life. And we want to finish that today because I believe that Daniel's entire life is a really good lesson for all of us as believers, because all of us are planning on serving Jesus for the rest of our lives. And we're going to encounter, if not lion's dens and mighty kings, we're going to encounter... Everything okay? We're going to encounter a lot of things that will run parallel, ups and downs in our lives. And Daniel has a lot to say to us about that and holding ourselves in the Lord during that time. So last week we talked about the favor that Daniel had with Nebuchadnezzar. And he was a superpower. He was the emperor or the king over the whole world, the whole known civilized world at that time. And Daniel was one of his trusted advisors, very, very close to the king, and served in that capacity for many, many years. But with the change of regime came a change of advisors, and it is obvious that through the next few kings, Daniel did not have the same kind of favor and was not asked to have any input on that kind of a level. And we saw him under the reign of Belshazzar in a lower diplomatic type of a post, but he was still with the Lord. So, and we talked a little bit about how that would, you know, the internal experience of a person who was used to the perks and the reputation of having a high position and then kind of going down to a little bit of a lower position, and what that kind of does in a person's soul. And we need to learn the Lord in those kinds of ways. So we looked at that. Under Nebuchadnezzar, he was in charge of anybody who was a magician or involved in the occult. I would have loved to have sat in on a few of those meetings. That would have been interesting. And then under Belshazzar, more of a diplomat. Then Cyrus takes over, and the Medo-Persian Empire takes over the Babylonian Empire and, you know, increases their realm. And David again finds favor. And he finds favor in chapter 6 with Darius the Mede, who is the general that King Cyrus has assigned to rule Babylon under him. And he finds great favor with Darius, and Darius promotes Daniel to the three presidents. He's the one that's over everybody, over all the 127 provinces. And some people get a little put out by that. They don't feel like he should be the guy that was promoted. And so they work to bring him down. And the way they bring him down is to trick Darius into making a law that if anybody prays to anyone other than him, that they should be thrown into a den of lions. And Darius, being an unbeliever and not having the Spirit of Christ, thinks this is a great idea and takes the bait. And only later does he realize the implications, and it's too late then. So Daniel gets put in the lion's den. So he goes from being in charge of 127 provinces into the lion's den. And that's kind of even lower probably than just, you know, being a diplomat aide under Belshazzar's reign, right? Hello, Geraldine. It's good to see you on. Welcome. So we have Daniel, in a sense, down at the captivity and taken to Babylon, up high, serving at Nebuchadnezzar's side, down again during the following kings after King Nebuchadnezzar, back up again decades later under Cyrus, immediately back down again in the lion's den for an overnight session of faith and prayer, and back up again when the Lord closes the lion's mouth, the Lord delivers Daniel, and he's returned to favor. So we have a lot of ups and downs. This is my point, a lot of ups and downs. And he had to have a stability in the Lord that could weather these changes. And a lot of these changes probably had very little warning. And this is not too different from our lives. You know, he may have had a very unique function and following and calling in his life, and we don't all have Daniel's giftings or callings. However, we do have plenty of ups and downs. And what do we see from Daniel when he's up or when he's down? Well, there's a few things. On no occasion did he put himself forward to prove that he should be up and high and in favor all the time. Now, this is a really big one, especially in our country where we are always looking for individual success and we're always campaigning to show why we're the best. And that's a regular thing with us. So there's a spirit of self-promotion that is incredibly absent from Daniel. And it's absent all the way through his book. I recall over in chapter 5 when Belshazzar has told him that if he can interpret the writing on the wall, that he will be given a red robe and a gold chain around his neck, and he's going to be made, I don't know, second in the kingdom or something like that. And Daniel answers, "Keep your rewards. I'll interpret what's on the wall for you." And he wasn't interested in promotion. Okay, he wasn't interested in the acclaim and fame that man can bring. So he stayed low and silent during those years, not pushing his way forward, and he allowed the Lord to bring him forward at his own pleasure. The Lord had other plans and would bring him forward when the time was right and set him back when the Lord didn't want to use him at that time. This is probably a good time to throw that slide up, Scott, if you don't mind. We're putting up a slide. Scott's getting it up so the folks on Zoom, which is all of you today, can see it. And we will be moving forward as soon as he gets that up there. All right. So here we have the Daniel timeline, and we're going to be primarily focusing on the big yellow strip and not the other stuff so much this time. Oh, and maybe the kings that run across the top in that little narrow strip, the gray and the tannish strip. And what I really want to focus on today is not so much exactly what happened, but when things happened. So, you know what, Scott? It's really hard for me to see that, to be able to speak from it. Is it possible for you to put it on the screen in here for me to look at? Okay. While he's doing that, let me just say that when he was set aside. And that's Scott serving, folks, so don't mind him. When Daniel was set aside to kind of take a lower seat in a different regime or a different court, if you will, we don't see his personal struggles. He doesn't really talk about that. If it had been Jeremiah, we may have heard all about it because he did that a lot. But Daniel doesn't show us what's going on inside. He does tell us about some of his experiences, but not his internal climate at the time. So we don't know about his personal struggles, if there were any. Maybe he was just fine and didn't have any. I don't know. But if it bothered him, he didn't let us know. Okay, so now we've got our slide up, and I'm going to be looking not at you, the camera, but the slide here in the room. And we want to see that there was a lot of activity at the very beginning. We see Daniel chapters 2 and 3 at the very, very beginning of that, where that red arrow is, and that's under Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel chapter 4 happens, it looks like almost 35 years or 30 years after Daniel chapters 2 and 3. Can you see that? So that's a lot of years. So just think about it in your own life. How long was 30 years ago to you? So that would have been 1994. What were you doing in 1994? You know, just think about everything that's happened and all the water under the bridge. So we don't know anything about what happened to Daniel during those 30 years. We know that he was in some capacity serving Nebuchadnezzar, but that's all we know. And then nothing really occurs until Daniel chapter 7 and 8, which is about 20 years later when he gets some visions from the Lord. But even then, he's not necessarily, well, he's definitely not close to King Belshazzar at that time. He's over in Shushan, as a matter of fact, on a mission, a diplomatic mission, and the Lord speaks to him, and that's a 20-year gap. Then we have about 10 years later when Daniel experiences, well, the whole world experiences the collapse of the Babylonian Empire and the Medo-Persian Empire coming in and expanding there. And that's Daniel chapters 5, 6, and 9. And so that all happens in about 540 BC. So there's another 10 years where we don't have any activity. But really, if you look from Daniel chapter 4, where he has interactions with King Nebuchadnezzar and his dream about the tree, and you go to his next time that he's actually speaking with the king and God is using him in a king's life, that's not until 540. So that is another 30 years. So from 540 BC all the way back to 530 BC, that's 60 years. And we've only heard from him a couple times. Now, he's been working in the palace that whole time, but he's not writing new things in the Bible all that time. You see what I'm saying? What I'm trying to point out to you is that there were huge gaps where the Lord did not bring Daniel forward in a way that we would know him and we would get to know what he had to say from the Lord. So what was he doing the rest of the time? Well, he was doing his day job, okay? He was serving the kings of Babylon as the Lord led him to do. And we know he maintained a relationship with the Lord during that whole time. It's just hidden. We don't see it. We don't see him publicly, but we know that he's serving the Lord that whole time because of the spirit and the attitude that he has during those times. So this happens to believers. We can leave the slide up so you guys can refer to it. This is actually incredibly normal. Not serving King Nebuchadnezzar, that's unique. But having a long life of service to the Lord, that doesn't mean that you're forward and in the thick of things and in the middle of what God's doing all the time. That is not necessarily a normal way of life for a believer. More common would be being brought forward if you're in ministry or if you are in a group that's actively serving the Lord regularly. More common would be that the Lord brings you forward for specific seasons to do certain things for him and then pulls you back. And other people, the Lord lands on other people and uses other people in his movements in the earth. That is actually more common. And so just the common round of everyday life and the workaday, you know, whatever your job is or however you make income, you know, keeping the house clean and making repairs, doing your yard work and taking care of family members and all the things that are our daily living will actually realistically take a lot more time than being on the front edge and doing a whole bunch for the Lord all the time. Now, I'm not saying this is a golden rule that it's only true this way, but this is a general truth that there are seasons in our lives. There's an ebb and a flow of activity in the Lord. And we can know this about the Lord and learn to live in a way that we're living in Christ eternally with him, and he can bring us forward or bring us back into obscurity as it pleases him. And we don't have to be worried or freaked out like something is wrong when the times are quiet, okay? That we can know that we are bound up with the Lord and his purposes, whether he's using us at the moment or not, whether we're in one of those 30-year periods or not. Now, we know Ezekiel had a 20-year period, and he started after Daniel's ministry began, and he was about finished, see, 592 to 572. So Ezekiel ministered from 592 to 572, kind of in that quiet period between chapters 3 and 4 for Daniel. And he was really, really busy ministering a lot. Jeremiah was super busy all that time up until the fall of Jerusalem. You can see during those three arrows, Jeremiah was particularly active during those times. And then he was done. And we're not really sure what happened, how he died or when he died. There are different thoughts about that. But my point is that Daniel's life is not exactly the same as Jeremiah's and Ezekiel's or his ministry. And that he is considered just as much an agent and a vessel of the Lord as somebody who had a very, very busy ministry for 20 years, or in Jeremiah's case, closer to 40. And it's not about being busy and involved in visible things, ministry things on the earth all the time that everybody can see, okay? There's something else going on that the Lord recognizes. Let's see. I can't remember exactly what chapter it's in Daniel. I think it might be chapter 9. I'm going to turn there really quick. Maybe it's 10. It's chapter 10, verse 11 in Daniel. I'm going to read it. If you want to turn there, feel free. It says, Daniel 10, verse 11, an angel comes to him and says, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. A man greatly beloved. And that's all I want to look at. And I read that and thought, a man greatly beloved. And if you go with the works mentality and you look at Daniel's timeline, there's a whole lot of empty space in there. So what did God love him for if you have a works mentality? Because if you have a works mentality, you need to be doing things all the time for God to love you. But in Daniel's life, we don't see the things. We see a few things. We see a few points in time, here, 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 but not even big spans of time where he's ministering. And that strikes my heart, that here is a man who has been quietly faithful to the Lord for decades. And we have no idea what he was doing during those empty blocks of time on his timeline. We have no idea. But whatever he was doing, okay, he is greatly beloved. Okay, so it's not about what he was doing, is it? It's about something in his heart. It's something between him and the Lord where he is greatly beloved, and he serves faithfully when the Lord calls him forward to do so. And this is more of a realistic view of how we believers will live our lives. Not everybody. There are those who have a different path that the Lord has for them for different reasons. But it shouldn't surprise us if we have huge gaps of time, okay? And you could still be greatly beloved because there's fellowship going on between you and the Lord the whole time. Okay, you're not missing out if your timeline looks like Daniel's. That's what I'm trying to say. You're just as much a servant of the Lord and can be used of him when he wants to. So I just wrote down, some of us have giftings. Some of us have a call on our life. Not all of us, but some of us do have a call on our life to ministry, to serve the Lord in some capacity. But throughout the course of our lives, that call or gifting might take up very little actual time in a visible way where people see you being used of the Lord. It may not be visible all the time. You may carry a burden and it only come forward at certain seasons, okay? But there's something more important than being used in a visible way. And this is what Daniel's teaching us. There's something more important and something that the Lord values, something that makes Daniel greatly beloved. It is that our life is Christ, and he is to be living in us all the time, whether we are ministering according to our calling or not. Okay? To be so attached to him that we're more caught up with the Lord Jesus himself and his life in us than we are with the things that he has called us to do in an external fashion. Now, this is the first lesson, okay? And I feel like it's a huge one. And I can't say I fully learned it myself. I feel like the Lord is still talking to me and shaping me and forming me. So if this doesn't apply to you, pray for me, because I need Jesus in this way. But I'm sure that many of us also do, that your whole life is not bound up in what you do for the Lord. any more than Daniel's was. Your life is bound up with the Lord, period. And whether you're publicly being used or not, you can carry yourself in a way where you can weather the winds of change like Daniel did, up, down, and it doesn't faze you. And you're just with the Lord. You're beholding his face. You're living unto him, whether you have a king's ear or you are seeing great visions that people are going to be reading for thousands of years after you're gone, or whether you're quietly in your room praying for brother or sister so-and-so. If your heart is bound up with Jesus, abiding in Christ the way we are called to, then it is enough. You understand? Your heart is bound up with him, and you are greatly beloved of the Lord because of that consistency of staying with the Lord, being with him, and letting him have a light in the midst of a very dark world. And let's face it, I think we can all agree that right now our world is pretty dark, isn't it? And he could probably use a lot of little solitary lights wherever you're at, quietly, where he's placed you, living unto the Lord in all of your sphere of life, whatever that is. So that's the first point I feel like is very, very important for us to not just know and understand, but to let the Lord work this in us. And I'm hoping that giving some perspective here is helping you, that, oh my goodness, Daniel really wasn't used that much. You know, at the very beginning, there's a lot of activity. Then we have this one interchange with Nebuchadnezzar 30 years later. We have the Lord downloading a couple of visions 20 years after that. We have Belshazzar asking his advice another 10 years after that. And shortly after that, thrown in the lion's den, and then also the goings on in chapter 9, and then verses 10, 11, and 12 within the next couple of years. So a lot of activity in the last few years, you know, 5, 6, 9, 10, 11, and 12, all in the last few years of his life. So I hope that gives you some perspective, especially if you've been put forward at some point or you're really, really a part of what's going on, and all of a sudden it's like the door's all closed, you know, and it's like, what's going on? I'm all alone over here. Or you think, oh, you've been alone or quiet all your life, and the Lord suddenly brings you forward into ministry, just to be aware that there is an ebb and a flow and a change of seasons on the earth, and that's always going to happen, and you're just as much with the Lord, whether it's a season in obscurity or a season of busyness, if he's anointing you so that everything you do comes out to his glory in a visible way, or if you're just quietly in church, participating, being part of the local fellowship with all your heart while you commune with Jesus in your heart. Both and all are as unto the Lord. So that's one thing. So another thing I want to look at is, a second part of the lesson, I feel like. Let's see. At the beginning of Daniel's service in chapter 1, when he's first taken in to be educated by the eunuch, they are given food. It says in chapter 1, verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And so Daniel kind of self-imposed a fast and chose not to eat the food from the king's table. And I know there's a Jewish law keeping thing going on there, and I know that, but to see past that and kind of use the eyes of the dove or the Holy Spirit, it's almost as if Daniel was choosing not to partake of the table of the spirit of Babylon. You know, self-exaltation, running out and conquering everybody, wanting to be first, wanting to be highest, wanting to be the best. From the outset of his service, he made a stand in the Lord that he was not going to be of that spirit. He might serve King Nebuchadnezzar, but Nebuchadnezzar was not going to be his spiritual head. You know, he served humbly and honored the king of that age, but he was not his spiritual head. He did not eat from that table. And I think that's what kept him all those years, is that he partook of the table of the Lord. When we get over now to the end of Daniel's life in chapter 6, verse 3, it says, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. That's right before he gets thrown in the lion's den, right? And so the reason why Cyrus and Darius were drawn to Daniel was the same reason Nebuchadnezzar was drawn to him in his youth. There was something about him that the wisdom and the way in which he carried himself that drew kings to him and felt that they could trust him and impart their authority to him, and it wasn't going to be misused for political reasons. He carried himself very carefully and quietly before the Lord. And it says specifically in verse 3, there was an excellent spirit in him. Now, if he had begun partaking of the table of Babylon way back in his youth, he probably would not have been able to cultivate that excellent spirit. Okay? I personally believe that excellent spirit is the spirit of Christ. Okay? The spirit that Jesus had as he walked the earth humbly under Roman rule, you know, quietly among the religious leaders of the day, caring for those that God put in his path, not putting himself forward, but allowing the Lord to bring him forward as he saw fit, that excellent spirit. And at the end of his life, he gave himself in that excellent spirit. Daniel has that excellent spirit. And so whether he's up or whether he's down, this same nature or spirit or quality is in him and he's exuding it. And we can do that no matter where we are. Amen. Isn't that right? Okay. It couldn't have been just the Holy Spirit coming on him and causing him to do amazing things, because we don't see a whole lot of amazing things. We see several instances in a very long life, right? It would be the Spirit of Christ in him that caused him to go through unjust treatment in peace and with a clean heart, okay? Or hard ups and downs. He had that excellent spirit all the time, not just when he got thrown in the lion's den. He started that way at the very beginning, okay? He told Belshazzar to keep his rewards. Why? Because of that excellent spirit that was in him. He was not going to be bought or sold. He belonged to the Lord. Okay, so just along with that, we have the two different points. We have that ministry that you're called to might take up a relatively small amount of your life if you map it on a timeline like we did with Daniel. It might. It could. Maybe not. It's up to the Lord. But if it does, it doesn't mean something's wrong. It could just be that's how the Lord wants to use you, right? So we have that component of Daniel's life, and we have this component of this excellent spirit that's in him. This is the lesson of Daniel's life for us. Whether we ever fully understand the visions, okay, whether we ever fully get that interpretation or not, I know I don't even claim to fully understand all that, but I do understand this. Daniel has something that we can all have because we have Jesus in us, and we can carry ourselves the way that Daniel did, not because we copy Daniel, but because of the excellent spirit of Christ that's in us in all that we do. So just kind of I'm going to read out my notes here and we'll close Daniel. Ministry occurs in a relatively small part of one's life. If you look at everything else your life is full of, just the day-to-day stuff. But the Spirit of Christ in you is there all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for the rest of your life. Jesus is in you, okay? Ministry comes and goes, waxes and wanes, because it's temporal and on the earth and it's very changeable, even if you have a calling for your whole life. But Jesus is all the time, baby, I'm telling you, okay? And you can live him anywhere and at any time. All right. There's something in the human mind and heart that believes that life is an upward climb to be maintained, and we go on to greater and greater things with a wider sphere of ministry or influence or success. But Daniel shows us that is not the case. He wasn't going to bigger and better things, was he? He was up and doing wonderful things in the earth, influencing a pagan king, you know, for God's glory. Then he was quiet and back, and then he was forward again, and then he's back, and then he's forward, and then he's down in a lion's den being persecuted. So there wasn't an upward climb. It was more cycling through the death and the resurrection, if I can put it this way, the death and resurrection of Christ, manifesting that spirit in time and space. And so it's more of a cycle than it is an upward climb. But human minds want to go up. We just have that working in us. That's the carnal mind. That's the lust of the human heart. And that's what the cross removes and replaces with the Spirit of Christ. But sometimes our minds still have to be renewed to that. So the believer's life is going to be more up and down, okay, than up, up, up and away. Sometimes you're in favor. People regularly seek you out to get the Lord from you. And it seems like the Lord is always on you. He uses what you do and say. It's like the mantle of the Lord is on you, and it affects and impresses people, and they think it's you, but it's really the Lord, okay? It really is the Lord. At other times, it seems like the Lord's favor is withdrawn, and you might be cast aside or just passed over, like Daniel was, or you might go through a season of persecution. This is more common than you may realize. It is very, very common. Daniel didn't try to get back into favor or prolong the years of being in important positions. He took what God gave him and yielded to whatever came from the hand of the Lord. He received from his father's hand whatever he wanted to give. When Daniel was in favor, he allowed the Lord to use that as he wished. When he was brought low and put in obscurity, he quietly did the king's business without scheming or fretting. He had an excellent spirit in him. So that will close out Daniel. I hope that that gives you just a little insights to the differentiating between the eternal spirit that's in us that gives itself all the time and ministering according to a calling. It's different. And the Lord relates, I don't want to say relates to us differently, but you know, he will move on you at certain times for ministry, but all the time it should be Christ in us, lowly, meek, and receiving whatever the Lord brings. And in some sense, that brings greater glory to God than a flash in the pan and doing things that are external that everyone can see. Well, that's what I have out of Daniel. That's going to conclude the major prophets. Okay, we'll close. Lord, thank you for our time today. Thank you for these two wonderful, precious, beautiful students that you have given us. What a privilege to serve them. And I pray that this test will not be hard or scary, but it will be just the final thing that just kind of wraps up everything they've learned and puts a great big bow on it. And they have something under their belt that they can take on into life, knowing the scriptures here in this place, in this way. And Lord, I ask that bigger and better things will be in store for them in these scriptures, the revealing of Christ, fellowshipping with you in Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Daniel, and Isaiah, but that will be between you and them and not between me and them. I ask that for your sake and your glory and for their nurturing in the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.